Next on BYU Sports Nation, the Ginger Swagger is back. TJ Haas leads BYU Hoops to a fourth straight win, 17-4 overall. Should we alter expectations?
Basketball radio analyst Mark Durant on the return of TJ Haas and what he expects Thursday in Moraga.
Plus, the first ever draft pick of the Utah Royals, Taylor Isom, joins us. What is it like to be drafted by your hometown team? Let's go!
This is BYU Sports Nation, brought to you by The BYU Store, simulcast on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Now, from Studio B, here's Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan.
Monday, BYU Sports Nation is live. Your day-to-day play-by-play in Studio B, presented by The BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hope you're enjoying your January 22nd thus far, wherever and however you're dialed in. It is great to have you with us here in the Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with the all-time leader in Studio B comeback wins, Jerem Jordan.
Well, as long as, Tom Brady's at the helm, then we'll be just fine.
Did you have any doubt at any point in the fourth quarter when the Patriots were down 10 on their home field that they were not going to come back and win that game?
There was a little bit of doubt, sure, yeah. Yeah. No Gronkowski, that was certainly difficult. I mean, no Gronkowski in the playoffs last year either.
See, I just thought, yeah, okay, he'd just setting it up for another dramatic comeback win.
So it was kind of boring in its predictability, is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. It's amazing, though. Like, and I don't want to undervalue it. It is incredible that he does what he does.
It is pretty crazy.
So often.
I think what's going to happen with Tom Brady, I respect him, but I'm highly annoyed at the empire, right? We just get annoyed at dominance unless it's your team. Like, the majority of America is going to root against the Patriots, which is an unpatriotic idea. No, I'm just kidding. Because they've dominated and they've had everything go so well for so long, and there have been some allegations of cheating and whatnot, you know, Deflategate and recording the sideline, you know, signals all that, right? So it's hard to root for the Patriots unless you're from Boston. But then again, I'm not like all in on Philly. You know what I mean?
What could be more patriotic than America's bird winning the Super Bowl?
The Eagles. Yeah. Eagles. Yesterday it was funny when the Eagles fans were going, instead of skull, you know, mocking, like they were saying, Foles. Foles. Hilarious. And Philly, nicest people there.
Yeah,
are.
Listen,
the nicest people.
The sports
come from
fans
Philly.
In Boston and Philadelphia couldn't happen to two more deserving fan bases,
yes.
Right?
And It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia can have a great time. With that. Invincible, Rocky, the whole thing.
I'm Fly Eagles, fly all the way, man.
I'm anti-Patriot, so whoever that other team is, yes.
We love Kyle Van Noy.
Love Van Noy individually.
Bring on the headlines.
It's your BYU Sports Nation headline.
BYU men's basketball beat up on San Diego on Saturday night. 74-58, TJ Haas got that Ginger Mamba swagger back. Haas scored a game-high 24 points, tying his season high.
Cannon out front, 40 feet away, gives to Haas. Haas into a three, top of the key. Good again! He's brilliant! TJ! 24! That's our guy!
Greg Rebel on the BYU radio call. The crossover pull-up three was nasty. Teammate and guard Jashir Hartnett put up a career-high 17 points. BYU's won four straight. Up next St. Mary's, Jerem.
Can't wait for that Thursday night. Former BYU defensive back Preston Hadley joined the BYU coaching staff over the weekend as the safeties coach. Even as a player, Hadley dreamt of coming back to coach at BYU. Here's what he said at his pro day in 2013.
Hopefully, you know, I can get like a graduate assistant job down the road or internship here and just try and stay close to the program and then just get in and work my way in and then just, you know, keep the BYU tradition going.
And he's back. So what a story. As he was a grad assistant in 2013 and 14. Had a cup of coffee with my Seahawks, Postum, I guess, BYU.
Yes.
Cup of Postum with Seahawks, grad assistant 13 and 14. Junior college, Santa Ana, 15. 16 and 17 at Weber State. Weber State goes to a quarterfinal, so BYU picks, you know, two of the assistants. Potentially a third, we'll see. Preston Hadley is back. So with the move, Ed Lamb is not the safeties coach anymore. He's the linebackers coach because Steve Cafusi is stepping down after 16 seasons at BYU to pursue other interests. Thanks to Steve Cafusi for all the great years of coaching at BYU, not to mention the amazing sons that have played for this program, including Devin, who's the youngest boy, and he's on the team now.
We just mentioned it, but Kyle Van Noy, KVN, does it again with the New England Patriots going back to the Super Bowl. Shocker, they rallied to beat the Jaguars 24-20 in the AFC Championship game. Van Noy's stat line, 9 tackles, 1 sack, 1 forced fumble in that victory. It is the Eagles and Patriots 2 weeks from yesterday in Minnesota.
And fifth-ranked BYU men's volleyball beat the Conference Carolinas champion, Barton. The Barton Bellas? No, the Barton Bulldogs. In 2 sweeps over the weekend, Andrew Lincoln, 13 kills in 2 matches. It wasn't close. BYU played 4 bench players in the starting lineup Saturday. Still got the sweep.
Here comes treble. Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
You're talking about it, and so are we. It's What's Trending on BYU Sports Nation.
Connect 4. BYU basketball wins a 4th straight game. They met the expectations that most of you shared with us on this show a few weeks ago when we asked you what you thought BYU would do during the 4-game span following the loss at Pacific. Well, here we are. The Cougars now 17-4, their best record since the senior year of his Jimmerness in 2011. BYU is ranked 50th in the Ken Pomeroy team ratings. That's the highest BYU has been in Ken Pom all season. 54th in ESPN's Basketball Power Index, 55th in strength of resume, pretty good numbers, 80 in the RPI. Oh yeah, and a game at St. Mary's bearing down on Thursday. Time to reevaluate with today's Twitter question.
Based on the team's play over the last 4 games, how have your expectations for this BYU Hoops season changed? Use the hashtag BYUSN at Colonel_James83. TBH, I did not have high expectations for the team this year, sorry. With the departure of Mika and temporary withdrawal of Emery. Now, even though I know it's still a work in progress, I have the expectation to beat every team, if not only be competitive in those games.
There you go. Hashtag BYUSN. How do you feel, Jerem, particularly after TJ Haas has shown up in the last 4, which brings us to our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
TJ Haas is shooting 55% in the last 4 games. We talked about how he needs to be the third scorer, and then, boom, the next 4 games, he's played tremendously, averaging 14.8 points per game, shooting 50% from 3, 10 of his last 20, 4 assists, 2 steals a game. He's playing good ball, man, and he had a tremendous game Saturday night, 24 against San Diego. BYU needed that. They needed him to come alive. A little less from Elijah Bryant, a little more from TJ Haas, or a lot more from TJ Haas.
How have your expectations been altered? First and foremost, for me, I want to rewind to our season prediction show. I said BYU would be 23-8, go 9-4 in non-conference, 14-4 in West Coast Conference play for a total of 23 wins and 8 losses and 31 regular season games. I think the Cougars are right around a game and a half to 2 games ahead of pace.
Sure.
So immediately, I would say, well, my expectations have changed +2 in the win column. I think BYU is pacing nicely for a 25-6 regular season going to the West Coast Conference tournament.
And that would be good, because if you can get a quarter and then you win a semi, you're in an interesting spot. I don't think it's a 3-bid league, and I think BYU is clearly the third best team in the league. I don't think there's much argument on that one. Pacific lost, by the way, a close one at home against St. Mary's. BYU needed probably St. Mary's to drop that one to have a shot. I don't think BYU is going to win the league. In fact, I think Gonzaga is still the best team in the league, even though St. Mary's looks like the best team. I mean, where they finish.
Okay.
There's time still, right?
Okay.
St. Mary's doesn't look like they're going to lose another game. But BYU, have my expectations been altered? No. No.
From a wide-angle lens, that BYU finishes third in conference.
Yeah, BYU's playing better ball the last 4. Were they playing that bad a ball before? They lost an overtime game to St. Mary's. They lost a close one on the road to Pacific.
Who we are finding out now is better than we thought they would be.
Yeah, and the bottom 7, whatever. I don't really care about them. But yeah, BYU's clearly the third best team in the league. They're going to finish third. They're going to go into Vegas. Need to get a semifinal win just to make it interesting. And then you have 1 game to try and get into the NCAA tournament. That's the hope for this team. They have not been altered because BYU's been playing good ball.
Brand new AP poll out, top 25 college basketball. Gonzaga in at number 15, St. Mary's at number 16. So really,
they made quite the jump.
Is it that much of a shocker?
They went from unranked to 16th.
16th. Wow. Well, when you win at Gonzaga and you've won, I think now 13 or 14 straight games.
Yeah, they're good, man.
Yeah, they deserve to be in the top 25. So is it that much of a shocker that BYU is the third best team in the West Coast Conference?
BYU should be the third best team in the league. Like, you can't logically tell me that BYU should be better than St. Mary's or Gonzaga this year. No,
you would be saying that BYU needs to be in the top 20, right?
Right, and they're not a top 25 team. BYU hasn't been ranked in a long time. That's fine. You don't need to be ranked to make the NCAA tournament. This team is building, getting better, learning, playing defense, taking better shots, developing depth. Oh, by the way, prior to Dalton Nixon coming back into the lineup, BYU was playing with 8 scholarshipped players. Like, this team is not fully equipped to challenge the Big Two. Gonzaga is Gonzaga. St. Mary's is living it up this year. It's not going to be the same next year when they lose the Big Three. This isn't the year for BYU to get to that next level. It's time to build, to grow, to put systems in place, get culture, Heath Schroer's systems. Then next year is when you're going for second. You're going for the league, right? But you're going for a realistic second to get in. This isn't a 3-bid league. This is a 1.5 bid league. And this year, it's going to be a 2-bid league.
I tell you what, every team, notably St. Mary's and Gonzaga, and other teams on the bubble, are terrified of a team like BYU because they are a potential bid stealer, right? If they get bubble-icious, and we are not expecting them to make the NCAA tournament, but they are a team that could sneak up and just maybe pull away a bid from
If it's an auto bid,
another deserving team.
I don't see BYU getting an at-large. I see BYU potentially sneaking in as making a run in Vegas where you need to win 3 games in 4 days.
However they get it, if they get it, it's a bid steal, right? Because expectations
are
now.
Oh, 3 from the West Coast Conference?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 6 years of the league, 1, 3. Well, actually, forever. There's never been 3. I mean, beyond that one time, there's been 1 3-bid year for this league. It's not a 3-bid league, typically.
So technically speaking, in terms of expectations, BYU is a game and a half, maybe 2 games ahead of schedule in the win column.
Yeah,
but
overall.
Overall, still the third best team in the West Coast Conference. So it depends on how you look at what your expectations are and how minute you want to get in those details.
Yeah.
But where do you stand, BYU Sports Nation? Are we undervaluing this team?
If BYU can avoid another non-Gonzaga loss, it changes things. But we all expect BYU to lose at least another one. That's the expectations are third, lose like 5 to 6 games in league. You know what I mean? If BYU somehow makes that 4 and they go into Vegas and they win a semi, it's different. And BYU's lost 2 games in league. And like you said, you know, an overtime game and a 1-point game on the road. Yet we still expect this team to lose a few. It's because they didn't if BYU won at Pacific, the convo right now is really different. It is.
If BYU wins at St. Mary's on Thursday, now we're talking about a conversation changer, right?
Things get interesting.
Things change dramatically if you win in Moraga.
And that's the midway point. Like, after Thursday's game, that's the halfway point of league, the 9th game. Hey, coming up, Taylor Isom, one of 2 BYU Cougars drafted in Friday's NWSL draft. She'll join us in studio.
And how have BYU basketball alumnus Mark Durant's expectations changed for this BYU Hoops team? We'll ask him next. Big-time lawyer coming up. BYU Sports Nation.
Oh, Mark?
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan live from Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Our daily rebroadcast, including this Monday night, airs at 6 p.m. Eastern each and every weeknight right here on BYU TV.
BYU Basketball, Dave Rose, live tomorrow night with host Greg Rebell at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. The guest is Dalton Nixon. You can send in questions using the hashtag Rose Show. You can reserve your free seat on BYUCougars.com/Rose Show.
The BYU Sports Nation Records Department has confirmed that the Cougars' RPI, according to the NCAA, is 69th. ESPN has it at 80. It is 69th, according to the official NCAA RPI for BYU basketball. So maybe that'll shift your expectations.
Yeah, because if your RPI is outside of 40, yeah. Hey, yeah, BYU's got to win a lot of games to have a shot at getting an at-large. I think the shot is getting the auto bid like everybody else.
If everything, dude, if BYU wins on Thursday, and that is an enormous ask, I know.
It'd be a tremendous
win. It changes everything. Changes everything. Based on the team's play over the last four games, how have your expectations for BYU basketball changed? At 17-4, at Lasersheep tweets in, my expectations improved by two wins if they can stick to the game plan of moving the ball and taking better shots. Steve Cleveland was spot on during the telecast and pointing out that when the ball stays on one side of the floor, BYU struggles. Swing the ball around. Joining us now on the Deseret First Credit Union hotline is radio analyst for BYU Hoops, our big-time lawyer, guy who always has our back, and just an all-around good guy, Mark Durant. Welcome back to the show, Mark. What was the best thing you saw from BYU basketball on Saturday night in that win over San Diego?
Well, good morning, guys. I thought it was a nice game. I like what I'm seeing defensively. BYU holds another team under, 60 points, and they're playing good defense. But, of course, the great thing about that game was seeing BYU able to have success and win a game when Yoli Childs and Elijah Bryant are struggling, because that's going to happen from time to time. And TJ had just an amazing game, and also Jashir Hardnett played very well. And so, you want to be able to have a lot of different weapons, and when some weapons aren't working, you're going to need to have some other guys step up. And I think the greatest thing is seeing TJ play well, and I think that's really the key for BYU to have success. Real success, being really, really good. I mean, obviously they're good, but to be really, really good, having TJ play well would be, a key ingredient.
TJ Haas is playing a little more his style, and I think maybe he was playing within the offense a little more, which was pretty strict. Heath Troyer has established some guidelines of what kinds of shots he wants, what kinds he does not. I think that at game, the last four, 18, 19, 20, and 21 now, for some reason at that point, maybe Heath had a conversation with him. Maybe TJ's just taking and making. I don't know. What's changed for TJ Haas in your estimation the last four games?
Well, no one ever accused me of being a great shooter, so it's hard for me to really relate to a slump from a shooter like TJ, who's such a good shooter. But it was a change. I mean, you got to remember TJ grew up with the greenest light ever to be green. I mean, it was neon green light ever since he was 3 years old. I mean, every shot was a good shot. Shoot whenever you can, as much as you can. And this year, it's a different team. They value each possession. They want good shots. And I think TJ was kind of in no man's land. Sometimes you could see it almost when he caught the ball. Is this a shot I should take? And if I miss it, is Heath Troyer going to rip my head off because I took it? And there was just some hesitation. And then I think, it's just a slump in his shooting, which didn't help any. And I think I think there's a happy medium, though, guys. I mean, I think TJ can be TJ and still, not do anything crazy and be within the offense and make good shots and take, high percentage shots. It wasn't just the threes. I mean, TJ would get in the paint and he wasn't finishing at the rim, which was unusual as well. And you saw some of the great moves he had the other night against San Diego, and it was all over the court. He was doing everything really well. And so his confidence is back, which is a big factor, but I also think he and the coaches have kind of found a little sweet spot where he can shoot his shots and be aggressive and maybe take a shot here and there that's not the greatest shot, but it's not going to be the end of the world for the team. And I think that was clearly what he was doing against San Diego, and it was really, really fun to watch. I mean, we all know, because we've seen it before, what TJ can do. So that's where the frustration came, because we're like, hey, we know you can do it. What's going on here? And whether it's just coming out of a slump or finding a little more freedom or just getting some confidence, whatever it was, TJ would appear to be kind of back on the saddle, and hopefully that can continue.
BYU basketball radio analyst Mark Durant with us on BYU Sports Nation. Our Twitter question for all of BYUSN today, Mark, is based on BYU basketball's play over the last four games, all wins, how have your expectations for this season changed? How would you answer that question?
I mean, I don't think they've changed much as far as the end result. I mean, it's a tough deal. I mean, they're going to have to find a way to get ahead of Gonzaga and St. Mary's. Now, they can win all those games. That's amazing. That's almost going to take a miracle, and that's not a slight on BYU. It's just that, you know, going to St. Mary's and playing there against a great team is going to be hard. And Gonzaga, even though BYU's had success up there, it's going to be hard. I think BYU can realistically expect to beat Gonzaga at home. But, I mean, it's just a hard thing. And so you're going to probably end up being third. And so you're going to have to win the conference tournament. But I do think my expectations are changed in that I think BYU really has a legitimate shot to win the conference tournament. I think BYU is going to compete like Thursday night. I think they're going to be able to compete and give St. Mary's a game. And in years past, and it hasn't really necessarily been the case. I mean, you're thinking, oh, we got to win the conference tournament, but I don't know that anyone really believed that they're going to win it. But I think this year they're good enough to win the tournament. So I do have more hope. Now, it may end up being the same result, but I think BYU is better positioned, have better players. It's a better game plan, better defense, and I think that they can really have a shot. Now, it may come down to guys that it all ends up being the same this year, but it's not the same. And then you go to next year. Everyone's back. You plug in some new good players. St. Mary's loses to everybody. And maybe the results are different next year, but what I guess I'm trying to say is the trajectory is really nice and BYU is getting better, but it may not be enough this year. I hope it is, but it's going to be a tough road to get in the NCAA tournament. It's just the facts. But that's not to say BYU isn't better this year and getting better.
Yeah, building. I think this team's building towards the NCAA tournament next year. This year would be certainly exceeding expectations. Elijah Bryant struggled a bit on Saturday night, but I had a cool story, on the radio with you guys, saying he found Jashir Hardnett during the game and said, "I'm struggling. You need to score." What does that say about Elijah Bryant? Because he's playing at a high level, but for him as a captain to say that to Jashir is pretty cool.
I love everything about Elijah Bryant. I mean, he plays the game the right way. I mean, he's not like Jerem at Ward Ball where everything he's got to touch the ball every time, shoot the ball. I mean, he's a black hole out there on the in the state.
I'm more like Nick Emery.
Yeah. I mean, I never ever have thought, well, that really was not a shot Elijah should have taken, or he needs to give the ball up more or shoot less. I mean, even when he gets 30 points, it's almost a surprise that he has it. It's like, wow, he didn't really take a lot of shots, and he did it within the offense and still distributed the ball nicely. He's really interesting to watch. He reminds me of brother Devin a little bit in that it's just so smooth and doesn't seem to sweat. The teams used to be so mad at my brother Devin because not only would he kill him, but he seemed like he never sweated. And Elijah's that kind of guy. He's just smooth, calm. Not a lot of emotion, and like I said, doesn't demand the basketball and doesn't hog the basketball. He's always looking for his other guy. So that doesn't surprise me when I hear a story like that about Jashir because, if the Santa Clara game, if Yoli's hot, first 10 minutes, get the ball to Yoli. It's not about Elijah making sure he gets his shots. But the amazing thing is, even though he doesn't do that, he doesn't demand the ball, he ends up having amazing games. And that's a credit to him and the way he plays and his fundamentals and his smoothness. And I mean, he's one of my favorite players in a long time to come along. Just the way he plays, it's really fun to watch.
All right, Mark, great stuff, man. We look forward to the showdown between BYU and St. Mary's in Moraga at McEwen Pavilion. I take it you'll be there, correct?
No, because I'm a big-time lawyer. I'm going to miss this one. That's hard on me. It's hard. I mean, I'd love to see that game, but Terry Nashif will be there on the radio with Greg, and I'll certainly be listening and watching. I'm hoping for a win. I mean, St. Mary's, as good as they are, is vulnerable. We saw that with Pacific and with BYU at home, and I think BYU is better and can really give them a game.
All right. We wait and watch. It's the Slow Down Jock Landale Project.
Yeah, good luck. I don't know what you do with Jock. I mean, you take him away and you leave shooters open. It's like with BYU with TJ. If you got three guys, it's hard to stop them. With two, maybe, but they've got so many weapons, it's hard to pick what you want to try and stop.
Good grief. All right, Mark, great stuff, man. We'll let you get back to your important work.
Not as important.
We'll discuss your option as, to be on retainer or not for BYU Sports Nation moving forward. So that's
right,
still
I'll
on the table.
Send over some documents.
All right, man. Thanks, Mark.
See you guys.
The radio analyst on BYU Radio for Cougar Hoops, Mark Durant, on the Deseret First Credit Union Hotline. Deseret First, your values, your timeline, your financial future.
He said you can reasonably expect BYU to beat Gonzaga at home. That's a top 15 team. Like the matchup is good for BYU. With this style, we'll see. I'm interested to watch that one. Coming up, a stepping down and a position switch from the football coaching staff.
Plus, the first ever draft pick by the Utah Royals.
Yeah.
Taylor Isom in Studio B. What does it mean for her to be able to stay and play in the state of Utah? She joins us next.
Gonna get paid to play soccer here, man.
Welcome back, BYU Sports Nation simulcast on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan hanging out in Radio Vision. We are on demand anytime, anywhere.
You can see the show on BYUSN.com. You can also download the podcast, where podcasts are found. If you want to hear the Mark Durant conversation or our opening conversation about expectations changed or not for the season, you can always find the podcast or watch the video. BYUSN.com.
If you missed the BYUSN headlines, not to worry. We're going to recap those right now, including BYU men's basketball beating up on San Diego on Saturday night, 74-58. TJ Haws with a game-high 24 points, busting out from three, especially tying his season high. Teammate and guard Jashir Hartnett had a career-high 17 points.
Former BYU defensive back Preston Hadley is back at BYU, this time on the coaching staff as the safeties coach, that named on Friday afternoon. Ed Lamb will move to linebackers coach, replacing Steve Cafusi, who's stepping down after 16 seasons at BYU to pursue other interests.
Kyle Van Noy and the New England Patriots going back to the Super Bowl. Van Noy had 9 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble in a 24-20 victory over the Jaguars. The Patriots face the Philadelphia Eagles February 4th in Minnesota.
The Fighting Vaisikahema Reno Mahes.
And Chad Lewis's.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And fifth-ranked BYU men's volleyball beat Conference Carolina's champion Barton in 2 sweeps over the weekend. Andrew Lincoln, 13 kills in 2 matches. BYU at UC Irvine this week.
Joining us in Studio B now is the former BYU women's soccer standout, former West Coast Conference Defensive Player of the Year, and now the first-ever draft pick of the Utah Royals, Taylor Isom. Taylor, welcome to Studio B. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
14th overall pick. Where were you when you found out that you were drafted by the Utah Royals?
I was at my parents' house, and my family was there, my husband and my in-laws. So just packed with family.
Did you know they were going to pick you? Did you have any indication, a text, a phone call beforehand or anything?
I did. So when they put Utah Royals on the board, I got an unknown number probably 40 seconds later. And when I saw that number, I jumped up off the couch and I ran outside. And I don't even know what I said. I think it was just super emotional. But I remember Coach Harvey just saying, "Girl, you're staying home." And when she said that, I just started crying.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, of all the teams, were you secretly hoping that Utah was going to
draft you? Oh, totally. When they announced the team in April, I was like, maybe it's a sign. Maybe I'm supposed to go there. But I didn't want to, like, put all my eggs in one basket because all the other teams in the league are amazing and would be awesome to play for as well.
What was draft day like for you overall?
Stressful, exciting, relief, all emotions, I think. I would say it was stressful at the beginning. I thought it was going to start at 8, where they're going to start like reading names at 8. No, they had like a 30 to 40 minute introduction. So that seemed like
ploy.
A day in itself. And then the first round was a little bit longer because you get time in between, so more stress, and then excitement and relief all at the same time when I got picked.
What's it like to have not just teammates from last year, but from a couple of seasons ago in the league as well?
It's exciting. I mean, they are doing awesome. Ash was Rookie of the Year, so we have some big shoes to fill. And then Murph is coming, and then Nadia. So it's just, we're just repping BYU in the league right now.
How many teams are in the league?
What There's 10.
10. Yep. And so four different teams represented
yes.
for BYU Cougars.
Uh-huh.
Not bad. Not bad.
You played against Ashley Hatch and Michelle Vasconcelos and Nadia Gomes in practice on a daily basis. Who is the toughest to defend? Who is the most annoying player to defend against?
Those are two different questions.
Oh, that's a hard question. I would say each of them had something that was super annoying. Ash always had her cutback, Murph had her speed, and then Nadia had her left foot. So I wouldn't say there's one particular. I would just say that there was one thing that was super annoying and they were really good at.
Well, prepare to be super annoyed while you play in the NWSL.
Yes.
Is that a situation when, because you'll face all three of them as, you know, forwards against you as a defender. Are you the type of player that, like, won't go out of your way to do something? Or will you, like, jokingly nudge them in the back in the box or whatever?
I'll definitely make sure that they know I'm there.
What does that mean, Taylor?
I mean, like, maybe a nudge. Definitely when they take me on 1v1. If I win, I'm going to make sure that they know. And then if they beat me or whatever, I'm going to make sure that I go even harder the next time because I don't get beat twice.
Taylor Isom, bringing it in Studio B. When do you get going with this whole professional career? What's the timetable like for you over the next few months?
So actually, spring training starts February 19th, so we're less than a month away. I meet with the coaching staff tomorrow, so I'm just training with BYU right now until they tell me otherwise. So
you haven't left, kind of like me at BYU.
No. I'm always going to be here. I've been here for 6 years, and I'm just going to be here.
Yeah. This league is great because we know that soccer is huge among the youth in the U.S. MLS is growing, tons of teams. How's the growth of this league, and how exciting is it for you to be involved in this in the U.S.?
It's huge. I think that Utah soccer is just huge in itself. Del Loy and Coach Harvey have done a great job to bring this team here. I think we had 3,000 season tickets already sold, so that's huge in itself for a women's league. And then it's just growing. I think the U.S. played Denmark yesterday, and people were packed in the stands in San Diego. And so it's definitely taken a ride, and people are responding to it very well.
I believe the NWSL has a contract with Lifetime Network right now, right?
Yes.
At least it did last season. I don't know about this year.
Yeah, we'll see going forward. But did you ever imagine yourself as a star of the Lifetime Network?
I wouldn't consider myself a star. I'm definitely just going to be the rookie on the Lifetime Network.
Well, it is a downgrade from BYU TV, but yeah, exactly. What's your husband, Andy, up to? He used to play baseball for BYU when Spencer and I, back in the day, helped call Provo and Timpview games. He was a part of those teams.
He's just working up in Draper for a medical device company, so just down the street from where I'll be playing.
What was his reaction to you being drafted?
I think he felt more relief. He did get teary-eyed. He'll deny. He said he had dust in his eye, but because we were trying to think, okay, we just bought a house, so what are we going to do with our house? Do I go by myself? What's Andy going to do with his job? Like, just lots of unknowns, so I think that he just felt relief and then excitement all at the same time.
Understandably. Okay, what is your ultimate goal as a professional soccer player? Where do you see this thing developing? Where do you want it to lead you to?
Definitely want to lead it as far as I can go. I want to see what I can do in this league. But first off, I got to start by like making this transition from college to professional. And I'll be playing with amazing players. So I'm planning on competing with them in games, competing against them in practice, and just learning from them and growing as a player.
Is there somebody in the league that you're looking forward to facing?
I mean, Alex Morgan and then Marta. You got all those players that you have grown up watching on TV in a U.S. jersey, and you're like, I want a piece of that. Like, I want to show them what I got. So definitely all those players. You got Julie Ertz. I would say anybody on the national team because you just know them, and they have a big name.
Julie Ertz was interesting yesterday because before the game, she finds out that her husband, is it Zach Ertz, is the tight end for the Eagles. And she finds out that he's going to the Super Bowl and just breaks down.
Oh, after the game. Yeah. Like, they like, text it up to the moment.
It was before the game, I thought. So yeah, she had to compose herself and then play the game.
Yeah, she had to be playing in the game for Team USA and then found out after the game was over that her husband had made it to the Super Bowl.
That's pretty cool.
Anyway, so, yeah, now you're in a league with her.
I know, all those amazing players. It's undescribable. I don't even feel like it's real. I feel like it's a dream that I'm just kind of living right now.
Hey, you've earned it. Before we turn the page entirely to Utah Royals FC, how would you sum up your experience and your overall career as a BYU women's soccer player?
It was amazing. My first 2 years were kind of rough, but if those first 2 years don't happen, I don't have this opportunity to play with the Royals. I've had a little bit of time to think about that, I know. So I feel like everything happens for a reason, and then I feel like Jen has prepared me for this moment, and then my teammates, for sure. I can't do it without any of them. Like, they made me the player I am today, grinding it out at practice. And I mean, I learned how to block Nadia's left foot. I learned how to take Murphy's speed, and then everybody else. So
it's going to be weird calling a BYU soccer game without Taylor Isom on the field.
It's been 6 years.
It's been six
years. It's been 6 years.
But we look forward to many great things with the Utah Royals. Congratulations again, Taylor.
Thanks
a bunch.
Yeah.
All right. On to bigger and better things in the professional ranks.
On Lifetime.
On
so who knows if
Lifetime
that's better,
Network.
But that is awesome.
Yeah, you can watch that just after the Internet Stalker special.
Coming up.
Oh, my goodness.
Our and one results.
Oh, yeah. We have
you're up a point. Did you gain ground? Are we tied? Or did I take the lead?
I owe it all to TJ Haas, Jerem. We'll just say that.
You kind of messed my pickup.
BYU football makes a hire, makes a list, and is now officially an underdog against Arizona. But by how much? Football dominates our next segment. This is BYU Sports Nation.
How Royals, dude. That's up.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan live from Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Watch our daily rebroadcast weeknights on BYU TV at 6 p.m. Eastern.
There's a particular phrase said a certain way that Spencer couldn't tell me, and then I laugh uncontrollably. and that just happened. BYU basketball, Dave Rose is on tomorrow at 8 Eastern on BYU TV with Gregor Bell. Our player guest tomorrow is Dalton Nixon. He's back on the court, and
he's
in Studio
back.
C, man. Come hang out with us. Reserve your seats on BYUCougars.com/Rose Show. Use hashtag Rose Show to ask questions of Dave or Dalton.
It's good to have that dude back. I just want him to be a pest and pesky and, you know, helping double down on Jock Landale on Thursday. Just the grunt work.
Should BYU have Corbin Kafusi?
Maybe.
Play Thursday and just do the unsportsmanlike conduct thing of Bronson.
The beefed up version of Corbin Kafusi, no
less.
Yeah,
dude. He's a reverse Bobo doll, dude. He is top heavy.
Like,
I don't know if he can swim at the moment.
How would Jock Landale feel if Corbin Kafusi showed up just to defend him? Just to like bang around in the post with him for about 10 to 12 minutes of game time.
Luke Worthington and Peyton Dasher would be like, what? No, we're just fine.
Just the big,
but they weren't the in Provo,
body.
Man.
Just the big body. Oh.
BYU got Landaled here.
Everybody's been Landaled.
Gonzaga got Landaled.
Good
Jeez.
Grief. Based on BYU's play over the last four games, how have your expectations changed for this BYU hoops season? At Newman BYU with this tweet.
Hello, Newman.
It has given me more hope that we can compete better with St. Zaga. Thursday is huge. Understatement. It's time for a breakthrough. BYU is taking care of business, but now
every
it's
day!
Time to climb from third. I don't know that this is the year.
This isn't the year.
We're talking about the 15th and 16th ranked teams in the top 25 AP poll as of today.
Last year wasn't the year. This year isn't the year. Next year is the year. So just give up on this. No, that's not what we're saying. Those two teams are good. We'll see what BYU
it's
can do.
It's gravy. If BYU beats St. Mary's in Moraga, all gravy, baby.
That's one of the best wins in the Dave Rose era.
Not expected. It's not expected.
Would be.
Other than some BYU fans and the BYU basketball team, but 95% of America is not going to expect BYU to win in Moraga.
And 99% of America doesn't care.
It's very true. But oh, do we care.
We care.
All right, Jerem, you know what else we care about? And one results.
Picks, predictions, and one on BYU Sports Nation.
Yeah.
Hello.
All right. Time to recap what happened with our and one picks in the San Diego BYU game last Saturday night. As a reminder, my two-pointer was TJ Haas will score 12-plus points.
Swish!
Yeah. He did a lot of that, as a matter of fact. Went for a season high 24 points and one. BYU will lead by at least 8 points at half. The Cougars led by nine.
Nice.
That was a struggle. That was a struggle, but they got there. So I was 2 for 2. Tack on 3 more points.
Nice. You're crushing it. Unlike me, my two-pointer, BYU will score 70-plus.
Swish!
Yeah, 74 against a good defensive San Diego team was a nice result. And my one-pointer, no player will score 20-plus. TJ has ruined that by going for a season-high 24.
TJ is sorry?
No, he's not sorry. Neither am I. Whatever.
For the record, Jason Shepherd got one of his two correct. So updated and one results are now I have 10 points. Mm-hmm. Jerem with 8 points. And Jason, he's got a 3. But
We're going to not let him pick every time. But we're going to update the standings every time with him in it.
Oh. So do I have 2 head-to-head wins now? Is that correct?
Are we doing – is the record matter?
Two? Not really. It's just all about the points.
And there's a tie? What is this, soccer?
It's all about the points, right?
It's all about
the It really points. Is like soccer.
It's all about the Hamiltons,
if
baby.
If we are looking at the points, it really is all about soccer. It's like it's just like soccer.
Except they're ties. Why can you tie in an athletic event?
I don't know. A debate for another day. Because there's so much football news. Notably, Preston Hadley. Coming back to BYU. He played here.
I love Preston Hadley.
6 years ago, was a graduate assistant for 2 years, went the JC route, went to Weber State, crushed it at Weber State, best season in program history, and now he's back at BYU as the safeties coach.
I love it. It's the second African-American on the staff. LDS returned missionary, JC guy, not only as a player but as a coach, FCS. He's earned what he's gotten. So now he's the safeties coach, and this move means Ed Lamb has to go somewhere else. He's coaching the linebackers. So Ed Lamb, a former BYU linebacker, this makes sense. Ed can coach anything. He's been a head coach. He can coach anything. And Steve Cafusi steps down to pursue other interests. Steve's been a long time, 16 years, coach on the staff. So that's a big move. Steve, influential in the Polynesian community. I'll be shocked if BYU doesn't retain him in some way,
yeah.
But not as head coach, a la the Paul Tidwell move a few years ago. Paul, part of the athletic department, but not as a coach.
I just realized I left something off Preston Hadley's resume.
Mm.
Intramural flag football champion with us here in Studio B. You remember that?
Was he on the team that
he
won the title?
On or, our team.
I didn't think he was on that team. I thought he was on the team that was ineligible in the semis because we were using illegal players that weren't in BYU housing.
We don't need to get into that.
I don't want to point out anybody's brother that was illegal, Zach Brady. Was he on that? Was Preston on that team? I couldn't remember.
Preston did. I believe he won a championship with us.
In dramatic fashion. It was walk-off in OT. No, 2-point conversion.
Regardless, we've been on a football field with the guy that's going to coach BYU's safeties.
We beat Skylar Ridley's team, who, by the way, is a grad assistant at Weber State.
There you go. The Weber State connections continue.
Will BYU pick another guy from Weber State? Because there's a 10th assistant still looming.
And what position will they coach?
Quinton Ganther, rumored as being a guy, a former Utah running back who could be the running backs coach here. We'll see. He's at Weber State.
We know it will be an offensive coach.
That was said in the release Friday. We expected it to be offensive, and now it's been stated as much. And it's interesting to see, like, where will people coach too? I'm interested to see who's quarterbacks, running backs, receivers. We know O-line with Ryan Pugh. That much is obvious. And we'll see what else there is.
I'm happy to report that I don't know the exact number of days that this new staff has to figure it out.
Yeah,
I don't know that, and I am happy about it.
We're in basketball season. It's okay.
But BYU, never too early to discuss this, thanks to our friends in Las Vegas, a 7.5-point underdog against Kevin Sumlin and the University of Arizona.
7.5.
In Tucson.
I would have thought 5.5, 6.
Somebody just whispered the number of days to me in my ear.
Not just anybody. It was the producer of the show.
And I don't want to repeat it.
If you want it on, make a graphic. And the radio listeners won't know either.
BYU, it's probably because I'm looking at this next little tidbit.
Oh, this is bad.
BYU makes a list that every fan of the Cougars wishes they hadn't. Mm-hmm. From SB Nation. They listed the 12 worst games of 2017.
BYU, all 13 for BYU.
BYU at LSU. And then this quote, almost every BYU game was worthy of the list. But it's hard to top a game in which LSU fans can make fun of your lack of trips across midfield. Ouch.
You know what? That's not true. BYU got to the 47 one time.
Was it across midfield or was it to the 47 on their own side?
No. It was across. Wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't know that they ever crossed midfield. Did they get to the other 47?
I thought it was the other 47.
I don't know. We need to confirm this.
I'm not looking that up. No, that's pathetic.
Oh, my
Either way,
goodness.
It's pathetic.
Guess what, SB
And Jeff
Nation?
Grimes is on the other sideline.
Talk to us this time next year about BYU's 12 games. We'll see what happens.
Hey, guys, wait, just a second. Forget this LSU game. We got something else.
I'm out.
Countdown to the Wildcats.
222.
Jerem occasionally leaves the set when things get a little too heated. And he has just walked out of the studio.
Good luck, Sandman.
We'll talk basketball next, I promise. Just come back inside. Based on BYU basketball's play over the last four games, how have your expectations changed? Coming up, Kyle Van Noy. Yeah, he does it again. And Jimmer gets buckets again. How many? The Whip is next.
Better than 222. Get out of here.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you in part by DexterLaw.com for help when you need it most.
Thanks to today's guests, Mark Durant and Taylor Isom of the Utah Royals. First ever draft pick by that expansion franchise of the NWSL. If you missed any of the show, download the podcast on iTunes or Google Play.
I may have to download that at the end of the last segment there. I didn't catch it. Coming up this week, Blaine Fowler and another Between the Lines. Let's whip it.
It's time for the Cougar Whip Around.
Men's basketball.
The boys are back in town. They beat San Diego Saturday, 74-58. TJ Haas, Ginger Mamba, 24 points, tying a season high. Jashir Hardnett, career high 17. BYU's won four straight. Up next, at St. Mary's face.
Football.
Former BYU defensive back Preston Hadley has officially joined the BYU coaching staff as the safeties coach. That courtesy of a release on Friday.
Cougars in the NFL.
Kyle Van Noy is on the Patriots, and what that means is he goes to a Super Bowl for the second consecutive season as the Patriots rallied to beat the Jaguars 24-20 in the AFC Championship game. Van Noy, 9 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble. The Patriots face Mitch Kuderer, today's line producer, his Eagles, as he says, go Eagles, into my ear, in the Super Bowl, baby.
Volleyball.
Fifth-ranked BYU beat Conference Carolina's champion, Barton, in 2 sweeps over the weekend as called by Jerem Jordan. Andrew Lincoln had 13 kills in the 2 matches.
Women's basketball.
The ladies lost to San Diego 70-69 on Saturday in spite of 23 points from WCC's Player of the Year a year ago, Cassie DeVash.
Gymnastics.
BYU beat SUU in a dual meet. 195.750 to 194.475. Mackenzie Douglas put up the high score of the meet with a 9.875 during her floor routine and was just named the MRGC Floor Specialist of the Week. 5,112 in attendance. That is a new Smithfield House gymnastics record. Thank you, Kids Day.
Tennis.
It was crazy in there, man. That was awesome.
Shrills.
The men beat Montana State 4-0. And Weber State 6-1 on Saturday. Nicely done.
Track and field.
Women's track and field had a dominant victory in the Air Force Team Challenge on Friday. The men's team finished in 3rd. BYU track and field had 4 sweeps in the event in the women's mile, women's 400 meters, women's 800 meters, and men's 200 meters.
Cougars overseas.
Taylor Sander accounted for 6 points in a loss in Italy yesterday in volleyball. In hoops, Eric Mika, 5.6 rebounds in Italy as well. Maybe they're in the same ward. Who knows? And also in Italy, there should be Italians overseas or Americans in Italy. Jonathan Tavernari, who has dual citizenship, Brazilian, Italian, scored 11 points in a loss Saturday.
Jimmer!
Scored 28 points, had 7 assists yesterday in a Shanghai Sharks win. They're pushing for the playoffs, Jerem. I know you're dialed in, baby.
Right.
Today's Rise and Shout brought to you by Dexter and Dexter Help. When you need it most, DexterLaw.com.
AJ Haas, he's back.
Conversation continues 24/7 on Twitter, audio podcast on iTunes. For Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Mark Durant and Taylor Isom for joining us today. BYU Sports Nation, back to work tomorrow.